All right. Amen. Thank you so much again, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach tonight. And I'd like for you to take the Word of God with me, please, and turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I'd like to speak this evening on the subject, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Christ never called us to stand still. He called us to advance for Him. As we read this passage tonight, as we talk about it for a few minutes, I'd like for us to think about our own walk with the Lord and where we are. And I pray that we would never get to the point where we're satisfied with the status quo. That we would never get to the point where we think that we're doing okay. Because it's at that point that we begin to go backwards. Let's look at this passage tonight. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says this, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Father, tonight as we look to your word, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing in other parts of the world, but I pray tonight that you would help us to, in our own lives, evaluate where we are with you and where we are with our witness to a lost and dying world. Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts for evangelism once again. Lord, that you would give us a clear vision of what you have called us to do and how we can do it. We thank you for the great freedoms we still continue to enjoy here in America and here in our state of Virginia. Lord, we have opportunities every day to give the gospel. I pray that we would be willing to go and catch men for you. Lord, I pray that as we seek to please you, that we wouldn't be satisfied with standing still, but Lord, that we would continue to advance for you. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. By way of introduction this evening, I'd like to look at a couple points. The first one is the centrality of God's word. As we come into verse 1, we see that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. And we imagine the scene of Christ being followed around everywhere he goes. And every time you see Christ about to perform a miracle or teaching, there are tons of people following him around. And we understand that there was some people who were motivated by the desire to have some illness cured or some disease taken care of or a physical difficulty. I know that there are a lot of people who followed Christ for those reasons, but a lot of them just wanted to hear what he had to say. And it's important to notice at how hungry the people are to hear from God. They pressed upon him, and he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. We're almost given this idea that Jesus Christ is pressed on by so many people that he's backed to the edge of the lake and he has nowhere else to go. There are so many people there that want to hear him. And we can imply, too, that Jesus Christ doesn't want just the people in the front to hear him. He wants everybody to be able to hear him, which is why he asks for a boat to go out onto the water. But the point I want to make is this. There will always be those who want to hear God speak. Pastor mentioned it this morning, and I think it's a wonderful thought, a thought that we often overlook. People need the Lord, yes, but there are people who want to hear about the Lord too. And he mentioned they're looking, they're searching. in all the wrong places, but they're searching nonetheless. And we have the truth. People want to hear God, and they want to hear about His Word, and we need to share it with them. Everything that Christ does in this passage is for the furthering of God's Word. Well, everything from Him borrowing the boat so He can be able to speak in a more clear way for everyone to hear Him, to using the fishermen, telling them to cast their nets into the water and to pull out the fish. Everything He did was to make God known, was to make a name for God and to draw people to Him. God used this miracle not to catch fish, but to catch these men. And He even says at the end of the passage, "From thenceforth thou shalt catch men." The entire passage, the entire miracle of Jesus Christ and the multitude of fishes that were caught led to one thing, calling these men to go catch people. Our very lives ought to revolve around the Word of God. It's our authority, our spiritual nourishment, our instruction manual, our priceless treasure, and our solid foundation. We need to read it and reread it. We need to memorize it and repeat it. We need to study it, love it, and live it. And we need to share it with the lost. We have been entrusted with the task of going and telling other people about what this book says. And tonight I want us to get the idea, the overwhelming idea that this passage is about getting the Word of God to other people. And it starts in verse 1 with the people who want to hear the Word of God and Jesus Christ doing everything He can to get that Word of God out. The second thing by way of introduction is the solution to the problem. Jesus saw a solution to the problem of getting the Word out to more people. Aren't you thankful that we serve a problem-solving God? And by the way, these problems that are problems to us, big or small, are not problems to Him. And God delights in using us to solve those problems. Have you ever thought about this? You might be the answer to somebody's prayer. There might be somebody that you know who is praying, maybe to a God they don't believe in, but they're praying for the truth. Are you willing to be the answer to that prayer? Are you willing to be the solution to their problem? Are you willing to let God use you in that way? To be used of Christ doesn't require great ability. It simply requires availability. Christ wasn't looking for the best, the greatest, the fastest, or the prettiest. He just was looking for what was available. 1 Corinthians 1:26-29. "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." Aren't you thankful tonight that we serve a God who chooses to use foolish things? And we serve a God who's willing to use anyone who will make themselves available to Him. Are you making yourself available to our God? Third thing in the introduction here is the coming of Christ. In verse 3, it says, "And He entered into one of the ships." Aren't you thankful for the day when Christ came into your life? Aren't you thankful for the day when you got introduced to Jesus Christ and to all that He could do for you? Aren't you thankful that when He came in, He didn't leave you the same, that when He came in, He changed things? I was thinking of the words to this song today. I'll just say the chorus. When Jesus came. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. And we see some of the beginning of that transformation in the lives of these disciples. By the way, Christ meets us where we are. When He met Peter, He came to where Peter was. Yes, He was teaching people at the same time, but He came to where Peter was. When Christ wanted to call His disciples, He met them exactly where they were. But praise God, He didn't leave them the same way. Notice that Christ stays in the boat the entire time. As He's talking to Peter, He's talking to the people, He stays in the boat. When God asks us to move forward for Him, we are also moving forward with Him. He makes the journey with us. Hebrews 13, verse 5, at the end of the verse says, "For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We need to remember as God's people, when He asks us to step out in faith and follow Him, to launch out into the deep, He promises to be with us every step of the way. 3 points tonight. The first point I would like to make is this. Step out. Step out. If you look at verse 3, we'll read it again. "And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Christ asked Peter for the use of his boat. Notice Jesus begins by requesting something small. Nothing much, just a little. When Jesus asks you to do something for him, he begins by asking for a little. I can remember various steps along the way of learning to drive. And any of you who are parents who have had teenagers come up through the process of learning to drive a car, it can be a very scary and nerve-wracking time, can't it? And I do not envy the day when that will be the case for us. We'll have a few right in a row that are learning to drive. But I can remember the very first time, one of the very first times, my dad asked me when I was about 14 or 15, not to drive the car, but to simply pull the car forward in the yard. He needed to do something in the driveway. He wanted me to pull the car forward into the grass. Just something small he asked me to do. And I'll never forget, I got into the car and put it into drive. And as soon as I put it into drive, the transmission kicked in and it started to move forward. And I panicked. And that's the last thing you want to do when you get behind the wheel after having never been behind the wheel before. And I could not remember for the life of me which pedal was the brake and which was the gas. And so in my eagerness to stop the car, I floored it instead. And I mashed down on that pedal. And some of you may be familiar with this kind of thing. We had a basketball goal at the head of our driveway where whenever the car was moved, we would play basketball. And thankfully, it was a portable basketball goal because the car took out the goal. The goal was demolished, and the car ended up pointing up a little bit in the air on top of that basketball goal with the tires going full speed. And my dad came running up and was pretty upset, and it was a while before he allowed me back behind the wheel again. But I say all that to say this. He started with something simple, and here I am today driving a car all around the United States of America on deputation. And so some of you may want to go home and put your basketball goal away and never invite us over after hearing this story. Christ asked Peter for something small, but it was going to lead to something greater and something bigger. He gave Peter an opportunity to respond, an opportunity to trust him by simply saying, thrust out a little from the land. Peter could have said no, by the way. The passage doesn't specifically say it, but Peter was given a choice. Christ asked for the use of his boat. He said, thrust out a little from the land. Peter could have said, no way. But Christ gave him the opportunity to respond. Pastor kind of mentioned it this morning. I think it fits well. He talked about the quote from an old TV show, your mission should you choose to accept it. God gives you opportunities to trust him. God gives you opportunities to step out in obedience, but it's your choice to do so. What are you trusting him for? A point I'd like to make in conjunction with stepping out is this. You can't catch many fish standing on the shore. You have to thrust out a little from the land. How many times have we stood on the shore when Christ asked us to thrust out a little? How many times have we stood at the edge when Christ said, just step out in faith and trust me, and we thought, no, it's not worth it, Lord. I'm not even willing to take a little step, and we've stood back on the shore when we could have trusted Christ for so much more, when he asked us to step out in faith in simple obedience. And as we notice at the end of verse 3 that he sat down and taught the people out of the ship, Christ is continuing to focus on the most important task, and that is teaching the people the Word of God. As he is teaching Peter at the same time to step out, he's showing Peter by example that he still wants the Word of God to be taught. And as we step out in faith to trust God, whatever we're doing, the Word of God needs to come first. It needs to be focused, centralized to what we're doing. The second thing tonight is this, launch out. So we have step out. The next thing is launch out. We go to verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, Christ has now finished addressing the people. We assume at this point that most of them are leaving and going home. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Christ asked Peter to launch out and let down his nets. After seeing how Peter responded to the in obedience to the simple task of thrusting out a little, Christ asks more of Peter when he tells him to launch out into the deep. By the way, with each step in our journey with Christ, he asks just a little more from us. And this is the principle of stewardship, and we could go to a few verses. I'll just read a couple. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. As we step out in simple faith, trusting God for that next step, God gives us just a little bit more to follow. Just a little bit something more to do for him. Maybe something with a little bit more responsibility. As you think about your place of employment, you think about the job, the occupation that you have, Many companies here in the United States like to hire internally. They like to bring people up through the ranks, people who know the system, who know the product, who know the way things operate, someone who they can train from the ground up. And we realize that when you're given a job, you're given a certain level of responsibility. But when you move on to the next level of employment in that specific job, you're given a little bit more responsibility. The same it is with Jesus Christ and what He asks us to do in our life with Him. If we've never stepped off of the shore into the boat, then we can't go to the point of launching out into the deep and letting down our nets for a draught. And there's so much more that Christ wants to show us, so much more that He wants to teach us, so many more things that He wants to bless us with if we would simply take that first step, but then trust in Him to launch out into the deep. Notice what Peter's answer was in verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. This is a picture of what labor without the power of Christ looks like. And we talked about it a little bit this morning. But how often have we toiled all night for Christ and have taken nothing? We have access to the power that God offers us. We have access to everything that He has for us. And yet we foolishly skip that part, thinking that we can catch fish all on our own. Peter and the other fishermen have toiled. Putting down that net takes a lot of work, doesn't it? If you think about them being in that boat all night, putting out the net, pulling it back in, putting out the net, pulling it back in, over and over and over again. And by now, they're getting tired, it's cold, it's dark. And each time, thinking they're going to get fish and being disappointed every single time. How many dozens of times that night did they lay out that net, expecting to catch something and drawing in that net disappointedly every time, not catching a single thing. And so you can understand a little bit when Peter says to him, hey, we've been out there all night long and we didn't catch a single thing. Many times, we're faced with that in our own lives. Imagine doing this over and over again through the course of an entire night and having nothing to show for it except sore arms, wet clothes, empty boats, and dirty nets. By the way, have you ever noticed that there is no convenient time to serve Christ? Have you ever noticed that before? There's never a good time to financially give. There's never a good time to conveniently share the gospel. And yet when we give and go and tell, even when it is inconvenient for us, God works. It becomes more about obedience to the Lord than it does about convenience for us. John 6:38, Christ says this, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." There's rarely going to be a time when all the stars align, so to say, for us to give the gospel to somebody. There's rarely going to be a time financially when it's going to be possible for us to give everything that we feel like we ought to give. But Christ still says, launch out into the deep. And you say, Lord, we've toiled all night and have caught nothing. And yet Christ says, let down your net for a draught. You may be one net cast away from pulling in the greatest catch of your entire life. In spite of the inconvenience, Peter again responds in obedience. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And as we see this miracle of the fishes, we see Christ exceeding expectations. Look at verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Think about how many fish had to be in that net in order for it to start breaking. That had to be a lot of fish. And the next verse goes on to say, there were so many fish. So many fish, they had to shout to their companions who were probably still back on the shore washing their nets, get over here, we need your help. And James and John jumped in their boat and came over and helped and said there were so many fish that both boats began to sink. That's a lot of fish. And as you can imagine by their response, that was more fish, a greater catch than they had seen in their entire lives. And we can assume at this point in their lives, they were very experienced fishermen. They had seen a lot in their time, but this was more fish than they had ever seen. But isn't that just like our Lord to do so much more than what we think or even hope for? We see in His earthly ministry, we see this in His earthly miracles repeatedly, over and over again. Christ goes above and beyond what anybody would ever expect. That's why people followed Him, because He was constantly doing these things. And if we take a broad look at how God interacts with men throughout the Word of God, we can see this pattern of exceeding expectations occur over and over and over again. I talked about this verse this morning, but it's appropriate here as well. Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. If Christ can exceed the expectations of a few fishermen, don't you think He can exceed the expectations of this church? If Christ can fill two boats to overflowing with more fish than these men had ever seen in their entire lives, don't you think that Christ could fill these pews with people? Don't you think that Christ could could allow you to lead somebody to Christ tomorrow. God wants to do a great work through us. We just need to be willing to get into the boat and launch out into the deep. How long will we doubt God and His power to work in hearts and change the lives of men? We've seen step out, we've seen launch out, and the last thing tonight is this, reach out. Reach out. Go down to verse 10. Christ, in the middle of the verse, and Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Christ asked Peter to forsake all and follow him in the pursuit of catching men. Here is, if we look at in verse 8, Peter's response to what this catch looked like and how it made him feel. In verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What a response. Here is a sinful man in a boat with a sinless God. Notice that Jesus said nothing to Peter about his sin. Not one time in this passage did Jesus look at Peter and say, you're a sinner. He didn't say anything about his sin, but Peter was overwhelmed by what Jesus had done and recognized him. When sinful man is confronted with a holy God, he cannot help but see his own unworthiness, his own sin. And notice, too, that Peter goes from calling Christ Master in verse 5 to Lord in verse 8. He completely changes his tone because he recognizes that this is no normal rabbi. This is not just some ordinary Jewish man. This is the Messiah. This is someone who is somebody special. In Isaiah 6, we won't have time to read the passage, but if you go to Isaiah chapter 6 and read verses 1 through 5, you have the picture of Isaiah standing in the presence of a holy God. And the angels are flying around and they say, holy, holy, holy. We serve a thrice holy God. But what is Isaiah's response to seeing God on high in the temple? Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Isaiah recognized God for who he was. And when he did that, he recognized himself for who he was. When men see God for who he is, they will see themselves for who they are. We come down to verse 9, and Peter, it says, for he was astonished in all that were with him. That word astonished, we have a unique situation here where there are two Greek words that both have a connotation with being astonished combined into one English word here. The two Greek words are the word periko and the word thambos. Periko means to hold all around or to take possession of. We have the idea of being overwhelmed. The other word thambos means to be dumbfounded, to be rendered immovable. Something that has the idea of being speechless, not being able to even think, you're so surprised. And so when you put these two ideas together, these men were so impacted by this miracle that they were gripped with amazement. They were overwhelmed to the point of being speechless. Psalm 33, 6 through 9, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Do you stand in awe of God today? Are you astonished at the things that he has done in your life? Are you amazed that a holy God looked down at you and thought that you needed a Savior and sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins and rose again from the grave. And there's nothing that you can do to earn your way to heaven. All you simply need to do is put your faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross for your sins. Are you astonished at that? Are you overwhelmed by that? Because until we get to the point where we're astonished by what Christ has done for us, we'll never be able to reach out to other people with the gospel. Christ's choice of miracles was specific to these fishermen. If he had performed any other miracle at this time, whether it would have been healing the man sick of the palsy or taming the maniac of Gadara or turning the water into wine, none of those other miracles would have made as great an impact as this specific miracle for these specific men. Because his miracle was specific, it was also dynamic. It made a significant impact. And then as Christ tells them that from henceforth, thou shalt catch men, as these men abandoned themselves to following the Lord, they did so willingly and having received ample proof from Christ that not only was he worthy of being followed, but that he would also take care of their every need. They had just witnessed with their own eyes the greatest catch they'd ever seen. They had no doubt in their minds that Jesus Christ was somebody to follow and that he would meet their every need. Christ has done the same for us, hasn't he? Is he not worthy of being followed? And will he not provide for our every need? And now it's up to us to reach out to the people around us. In closing tonight, the work that Christ called these men to do was a work that superseded his miracles. It wasn't about the fish. It wasn't about the boat. It wasn't about the nets. It was about teaching these men how to catch people. He used the miracle, the draught of fish, to speak to the men and to lead them to follow him. He even tells his disciples in John 14:12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." You know, there are greater things that God wants us to do than these miracles that he performed, and that is reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Greater things than the miracles that were performed here, God wants us to do for him. God wants us to step out, he wants us to launch out, but most importantly, he wants us to reach out to those around us. God's work is more than physical signs and miracles. It is the greatest work, that of bringing people to Christ and then seeing the greatest miracle of all, Jesus Christ redeeming a soul from sin and death and hell. And if you'll notice the response of the disciples in verse 11, it says, they forsook all and followed him. That means their boats. That means their nets. That means the greatest catch they had ever seen. They forsook all of it. They put it aside so that they could follow Jesus Christ. I want to give to you one story here in closing. Attorney David Gibbs, wonderful man of God, preaches around the country, very instrumental. God has used him in a great way in many legal cases. You may be familiar with the Christian Law Association. He tells a story about being in a meeting, I believe it was in Pennsylvania, many years ago. And at the end of the meeting, during the invitation time, there was a man that came forward with his wife, and he asked the pastor of the church what the story was behind this man and his wife coming forward. The pastor said that this man and his wife were surrendering to go to the Amazon as missionaries. And this man and his wife, he had trained for decades to become a brain surgeon, I believe it was. And he had gone through years and years of training and school and education and had finished up all that he needed to do, his residency. He was at the point of being offered contracts worth millions of dollars to go to many different famous hospitals and institutions all around the country to perform his work. He was wanted in many places. And at that point, he was willing, because God had called him to give up everything that he could ever dream of, a salary, houses and vehicles, anything he could ever want. He was willing to forsake all to follow Jesus Christ. And that man gave up all those things to go and reach people with the gospel. He was willing not only to step out and to launch out, but also to reach out. How about us tonight? Are you still standing on the shore? Are you willing to step out in faith to follow Christ in obedience? Are you willing to launch out into the deep in 2019? Are you willing to reach out to those around you to give them the gospel? Let's pray. Father, tonight we're grateful.